First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. There she is. Boy, what weather, eh? I was walking along, walking the dog this week, and a fellow was coming the other way, and I said, well, at least it's beginning to feel like March. He said, that's right. It's beginning to feel like March. What do people expect? I said, but it is April. Oh, yeah, okay. First Peter chapter 1. I failed my driver's test the first time I went for my license. There was this little course out behind the building there in New Kensington, Pennsylvania. And I did the three-point turn just so. I parallel parked, no problem. But the instructor said that I stopped too short on the stop sign, and I went too fast through the serpentine. Apparently, breaking the course record wasn't a good thing. Who knew? There are these big tests that we have in our life, and they stick with you forever. And they can change the course of your life. They determine what happens next. You will or will not be able to drive. You can get into the college of your choice, or maybe not. You did all this studying. If you can't pass the boards, you may not even be able to practice the profession that you set your sights on. Life itself, Peter tells us, is a test. The big question, of course, is where are you going to spend eternity? But there's a smaller question that is almost as important. If you get to heaven, what will be your reward there? What will your eternity be like? What will have distinguished your life as having been valuable to the kingdom of God? That's a great question. Let me ask it again. What will have distinguished your life as to having been valuable to the kingdom of God? In today's study, Peter tells us, that is determined by the size and quality of your faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Father, we want to be ready. Lord, we want to be right. God, we want these days to count. You know, because you promised, that there'd be enough trouble with every day that we live. As my dad always says, life's a struggle. And as Sam always says, it's a battle. Lord, we want it to count. A lot of people waste their energy and their effort and their suffering just trying to survive, just trying to get a little bit more on this side, when all the time we could be investing in what is to come. Make us wise unto salvation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter describes our salvation here as a new birth into a living hope. It's like somebody turned a light switch on. It was dark, it was miserable, but all of a sudden, boom, the lights are on, it is bright now. You have a new birth into a living hope that is based on soon we will be with Jesus in glory. And that hope was secured the moment Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He conquered death in the grave. He paid our debt. And now we belong to Him and with Him. He holds the keys of life and death and of life again. No matter what struggles we face here and now, we can rejoice that very soon we're going to be home with Jesus. There is no sorrow, frustration, or pain in heaven. There is eternal love, joy, and peace. There's a lot of rejoicing in heaven as we thrill around the throne of our Savior and our King. So take the greatest worship service you've ever been a part of. You know, when you really felt like you were, your toes were just sticking in glory. And the goosebumps were running up and down. And oh, it was so real and so powerful. Set that on fire. And you've got maybe just a taste of what it's going to be like when we get to the other side. Life in heaven is not static, but dynamic. Ever-changing, ever-adventuresome, ever-awesome. If the Lord loves to make every sunrise and sunset unique, every ladybug and zebra one of a kind, every snowflake, can you imagine what's waiting us in glory? As I was driving into church this morning, the song was playing on the radio, I Can Only Imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine what that day will be like. If you think nature is glorious, heaven is going to blow your mind. And that's our living hope. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. But I'm on my way home. I'm on my way. I'm getting there. And the days are going by so quickly for me. How about you? Life just, truly the words of the prophet are true. Life is but a breath. It's here for a moment. And then it's gone. It all passes so quickly. This is a living hope. It affects my daily life. It lifts my sadness and increases my joy. Soon and very soon, I'm going to see the King. This hope can be used as a weapon. Because whenever discouragement or fear come against you, you can pull out your hope. And say, well, if nothing else, this could be the day Jesus Christ comes back. I'll be with him and none of this will matter. Everything is going to burn. Everything's going to be left behind. And we are going to be with the Lord. And Peter says, we are born into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It is kept in heaven for you. Are you looking for a good investment, a place that is safe? Whatever we do for Christ is going to last into an inheritance. This is something we don't even earn. It's an inheritance that comes to us. It is kept in heaven, can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, how can heaven get any better than what we've just described? You have an eternal, an individual eternal savings account. Did you know that? When I was a kid, parents were helping to teach me how to save some money. So we went to the bank and they gave me a little passbook. You remember those? Came in a plastic folder, a little book. Remember when we used to write things down? The tablets were made of paper and those kinds of things. And they would mark on there how much money you had in your savings account. And the next time you went in and made a deposit, they would add a little interest to it. And you would see your money grow. And there you were. Oh, you were only 9 years old and you had $25 in the bank. And you were just doing so well. You had your individual savings account. Well, you have an account in heaven that is waiting for you. There's an inheritance there. And you can make deposits to increase what you will receive when you get to the other side. Everything deposited into that account is absolutely secure, sealed, and safe. Time that you spent in prayer and worship, deeds done because you love Jesus, service rendered to others, acts of kindness and sacrifice, all make deposits into your account. The harder the task Jesus calls you to do, the greater the faith required to do it, the bigger the deposit is made into your account. A greater struggle, a greater deposit. This is going to count. You know how we say that's going to leave a mark? Well, yeah. It's actually going to leave a mark on your passbook savings account on the other side. No one who has ever left a home or family or lands or whatever will fail to be paid back in eternal coin. I have a friend that spent some years in the Army, and he said, I saved every penny they paid me. They would have this chalkboard, and you would have a number. And every week they would come out and they would put your number down so that nobody knew whose was whose. And then they would write down how much you had in your account. And he said, all of his buddies, they would go out drinking on Friday night. They would go carousing here and there. And their account balance was always just minimal at best. And then there was this one guy. It just kept accruing year after year. It just kept going ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. And all the guys would gather around and say, who's the clown? Yeah. And he would just joke right along, yeah, well, I'd like to find out who that guy is, you know. And so, but he said, you know, they fed me, they clothed me, they took me wherever I want. I just, you know, went on their dime through the whole thing. So that when he came out of the Army, he came out with this nice nest egg in order to start his civilian life. All of his buddies, they were broke at best, if not in debt, because they'd frittered away what had been put in their care. I can live for here and now, but there's no future in that. And you know, if you get on the wrong side of this thing, you have no time for God. You're just so busy and you're just so caught up in this. When you start with yourself and you start with your cup and you think, as soon as I have enough, then the rest belongs to God, it won't work. But if you start with God, say, Lord, I'll put you first in my life. I want to serve you. That's amazing how he increases your territory and your abilities and all else in your life. I know you're going to catch up one of these days. You're going to get to God. But you just keep falling further and further behind. Start with God. Start with him. Start fresh. You can live for here and now, but there's no future in that. Put God first, and all these other things will be added unto you. Stop running away from your spiritual responsibilities and yearn to be used of God. People who give all they can to the kingdom of God are not fools. They're wise beyond their years. You see what I did with that there? Wise beyond your years. In eternity, you are going to be so happy that you gave to God. Doug Clay is our new superintendent over the Assemblies of God. And I've been reading his autobiography. And in there, he talks about his mother. He lost his dad. His dad was only 40 couple years old. They were pastoring a church when he died. And Doug was only like 9 years old. And so all these years, his mother has been raising the two boys and the daughter. Maybe it's three boys and a daughter. And, of course, now they're all growing up and so on. He's finally had to take over his mother's finances to make sure that everything is fine. And so he was going over things, and he saw that she receives $29,000 a year is her income. And then he checked and he saw that she gave $19,000 to the kingdom every year. And he called her up and he said, Mom, this probably isn't sustainable. You may have to rethink the way you do your finances. And she said, Son, you cannot outgive Jesus. And here's a woman who's been a single mother since she was in her early 40s, raised these children on that principle. You cannot outgive God. Now, we all say we believe that, but it's what we do that shows God just how much we believe that. People who give all they can to the kingdom of God are not fools. They're wise beyond their years. Now, here's a bonus. Who through faith are shielded by God's power. That's an eternal security. I was just reading this morning in the book of Acts in my private devotions where Paul said he was on trial near the end, and he said to the governor, he said, he was giving his testimony when the Holy Spirit knocked him off his horse and he got converted. And he said, Jesus told me then that he would protect me from my own people and from the Gentiles till I have fulfilled the mission he's called me to do. Divinely protected. And We see that as you went through his story. They stoned him and left him for dead in one point. He was shipwrecked, what, three times? He was lashed with 40 lashes a couple of times. The guy had a brutal life, and God said, I'll protect you. You're going to make it the whole way. And when we are living for Christ, our life is protected. God will watch over us. We will make it. We will get to the very end. We will complete the mission for which he called us and he created us to complete. You'll live exactly as long as he ordains, then be whisked on to your eternal reward. Verse 6, chapter 1 of 1 Peter. In all this you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, this is a very important verse, these have come, all this grief has happened, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We rejoice in this new birth into a living hope and the inheritance that can never be lost, kept in heaven for us, and God's security patrol guarding us as we obey him, even though we have to suffer all kinds of different griefs and miseries. Can you name any grief or trial you have had to endure? Can you think back into your life and say, dude, man, that hurt. That hit hard. That was difficult. Maybe it was the loss of a loved one. Or worse, the betrayal of a loved one. Stress at work, a physical ailment. A couple of months ago, my daughter called. Their new house was being overrun with mice. She found mice turds in her butter. Ah. Her husband was sick. She was spotting while pregnant. The car, every once in a while, would just while they're going down. They live on Long Island. The traffic is terrific. Then while I was preparing this sermon, writing that very line, she called and said, please pray for Cooper. That's their youngest. He had fever and chills. It's not always like that. But we go through those seasons, right? They were just here last weekend. They were all healthy and strong and doing well. Rented a car to come down. And you know those rental cars. They all work so good. They smell so nice. They've got all these features. Then you go back to your own car. But that's real world stuff. It's not always like that, but we have these rainy seasons. These have come, says verse 7. Stuff like that happens so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved. Kayla, your faith is being proved right now. Chris, your faith is being proved right now. I got turds in my butter. That's a pretty good test of your faith, you know? Are you going to look beyond your butter, you know, to a better day? And to what God is working in all this, your faith is more valuable than your butter. It's more important than these other things that are going. It's even more important than, am I really going to make it to work today because the car isn't running so good? May be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor. True faith releases worship, genuine worship to God. How many know there's a lot of cheap praise that goes on? There's a lot of roped, you know, just singing the songs while the mind is somewhere else. We've learned to say Christian things, so we say them. But there's a big difference between that and what Habakkuk wrote. Though the fig tree does not blossom, there be no fruit on the vine. Though there's no cattle in the soil, yet will I rejoice in the Lord my Savior. You know, it's going to result in great praise to God. When we endure our trials with faith, God receives great glory from that. We don't grieve as the heathen do. We do not respond to life like pagans do. We have a living hope. And everything we face, we do so in the light of eternity. Therefore, we love our enemies. We forgive offenses other people take to the grave. We give of our time, talents, and treasure to bless people we know and people we'll never meet this side of glory. It's all about, I have a heaven worldview. Eternity is on its way. I have an account on the other side. I have a living hope. This is not what it all means. This is not what it's all about. Something greater is about to happen. And when it appears, oh, the joy, oh, the victory that will be ours, oh, the shout that will go up on behalf of our great Savior, our conqueror, our warrior, our friends. While most of the world fears death, we spend a good deal of our time looking forward to it. It won't be long now. We are a strange lot indeed, but it's all because we have this heaven-centered worldview. When we act like kingdom people, it proves our faith. I don't know how you can handle that. Well, how could you be so nice to that guy after what he did? Well, let me tell you, it proves our faith. It proves our faith to ourselves, to the world, and most importantly, to our Savior. I know there are times when we've surprised ourselves with how nasty we can be. Well, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. But have you ever been surprised at how nice you can be? Have you ever been surprised at a heart that was hurt or wounded suddenly being turned to mush with forgiveness? But I don't think I want to forgive. I can't help it. There's been a change in us. Your faith is being proven through the trials that you overcome. It improves our faith as it endures the testing, and it's strengthened, much like when you're lifting weights. Trials improve they prove your faith, but they also improve your faith. On the advice of my doctor, I started lifting some weights about a year ago. And I really enjoy lifting weights. All the time, except for when I'm actually lifting the weight itself. There are times when I look forward to, I can't wait to get to the gym and do some lifting. And I always am glad that I did lift already. And oh man, that felt good. But when I'm actually lifting the weight itself, I'm thinking, why in the world am I? This is nuts. I hate this. I have to divert my mind to something else. And then that kind of crazy. You can look forward to it. You can be glad you did it, but when you're, and I think that's kind of the way God is saying for us to enjoy our trials. Now, not that, oh, I can't wait until I have another trial. And when you're in the middle of, what was I so excited about that I wanted to be doing this? But aren't you glad when they're over? How often have we heard the testimony? I wouldn't have chosen to go through that. I wouldn't ask to go through it, but I'm so glad I did because of what God did in me, through me, and as a result of all of that. So trials really do improve our faith so that the next time we have to go back, we have a little more confidence. Okay, the last time I was able to do this, so I think that it's going to be all right. It improves our faith. And in like manner, we can be proud in a good way when we've endured a trial well. I didn't get so angry. I didn't get so irritable. I was sad, but I was hopeful at the same time. Now, don't take this lightly. Please understand, this is the word of, this is truth. Faith of greater worth than gold. Your faith is more valuable than gold. That's a good thing, because how many have more faith than gold? Yeah. You win. You win. This is really what life's about. Because it says in there, which perishes even though refined. The gold is going to There's a time when gold is going to be absolutely gone. It doesn't matter. But your faith will remain. Gold will perish, but your faith results in reward, eternal coin. So think of it when you have endured a trial well. You haven't just let yourself go. You haven't let your flesh have its way and all its crabbing and its complaining and it's abusing other people because you're not well. When you've not allowed that to happen, you've upgraded the interior of your chariot from velour to leather, you know. You have an individual savings account in heaven. And God is going to, not that that's why we do that, but it is a perk for sure. How you live now affects how you will live in all of eternity. And it will result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, who's praise, honor, and glory? Well, Jesus, of course. Because when he takes something that is dead in its trespasses and sins and causes it to be alive with a living hope and brings freedom and healing and all good things, well, it makes him look great. Look what the Lord has done. But it also results in our praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ returns. There is a reflection of that back to ourselves. Paul said, those who serve well gain standing with God. And on that day, the glory will glow and it will shine. And you'll be so glad for every time you stood the test and you trusted God and you pulled through and you gave him glory and honor. When Jesus returns, you don't want to be found ashamed of all your entanglements and excuses. Oh, but I meant to, but I was just all tied up and I was real busy and I was going to get back to church. I was going to get involved. I was going to do really good things. You remember, I really thought these great thoughts. This would be good to do, and that would be good to do. And I told other people to go do good things. Remember that, God? I was just so busy. You don't want to be found entangled. But you want there to be some proof. Abundant evidence that you don't belong to this world. But in heaven, with many brothers and sisters who have given all for the name of Jesus. You want to look like the saints, not like all the pagans running around this planet. See, you can't get into Sam's Club without a membership. You can't get a discount at Wise Market without a value card, bonus card. You can't get to the Super Bowl without a ticket. And you can't get into heaven looking like a heathen. You can't get there living the way the world does. Your life is your proof. Your life is your proof. How you have lived. Your faith has to be proven genuine by the way you pass the tests of life. Why is this happening? Why is that? It's a test. It's a test. Pass it. Well, how do I pass it? Read the Word. Keep your faith. Stay strong. Look forward to joy with what God is doing as a result of all this trust in him. No matter what you hear, no matter what you see, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I have a driver's license. I want you to know that. I did pass the second time. They let me take the test again. And I went slower through the serpentine this time. And did everything the way that, so they gave me a license. I was able. You may have failed many things in your life. You may be a late bloomer in spiritually speaking, but there's time. There's time, and God gives us opportunity. First of all, there's this wonderful thing called forgiveness. That when we ask the Lord into our life, when we ask him to forgive us, he completely wipes out our wrong record. Our sins are gone. thrown into the sea of forget. We'll never earn our way into heaven. That's a gift of grace from God. Put your faith in him, and he will make a place for you in heaven. What I'm talking about this morning is as we apply faith to our life, as we work, as we do the things God's calling us to do, not only do we enjoy our life, but then there is eternal reward on top of that. Stop trying to fit in here in this world. Start investing your life in the kingdom to come. Life is a test. You will literally remember parts of this for all of eternity. Every tear will be wiped away and every sorrow will be gone, but there will be a memorial, there will be a remembrance of how you lived in this life. It will become a jewel in your crown. So, friend, I encourage you with all I have, finish well. Don't let the distractions hold you back. Determine today to take that last turn and run through the tape. Finish well. Finish well. Would you stand with me this morning?